past several weeks ago, we talked about New Testament faith. New Testament faith we defined as that which believes that God is, that He is a creator, the sustainer of life, that believes that Jesus is a Christ, the Son of God, deity Himself, who came to earth, lived on earth as Emmanuel, God with us, who died upon a cross for the sins of all mankind, who was raised up on the third day, who ascended back to heaven, and is now at the right hand of God as our high priest and intercessor. The New Testament faith that motivates one to be obedient to God. We then talked about repentance as defined and demanded by God. Repentance, as you look at in the Scripture, is that which when one seeks after God, when one determines, resolves to turn away from himself, to turn away from any sinful practices, and turn to or toward God. That is repentance. It's a complete transformation of one's life. Last, then we talked about the good confession. The good confession is acknowledging what one must have faith in, who God is and who Christ is. It's that good confession that we have in the Scriptures. Last Sunday morning, we talked about baptism. We know that baptism is simply a response to the gospel. When one hears the message of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ, as a man on the road to Gaza did, as 3,000 did on Pentecost, when they heard the story about how that Jesus came, lived, and died, and was resurrected, baptism is simply that natural response to the gospel. It's that which puts one into Christ. We noted Ephesians 1, verse 3, that in Christ is where we have all spiritual blessings are found in Christ. And so we noted why it is that one should desire to be in Christ. Well, this morning, as we see what we've talked about for the past several weeks, we want to follow up this morning with one final study. And what really wasn't noted as a series, in my mind, it has been by design. Well, this morning I want to note that if we come to that point and we have that New Testament faith, we believe that God is, we believe who Jesus is, we truly repent, we change our life, we confess that, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If I'm baptized for the remission of my sins, I come up, I rise to walk in newness of life. I'm a child of God. My past sins are forgiven. There's still a challenge ahead of us. This morning, I want to encourage each one of us who is a Christian to finish the course. To finish the course. There have been Christians that I've known of through the years who became a Christian at a young age, served God faithfully for many, many years, and in the latter years of their life, stopped serving God. What a tragedy that is. It is truly a tragedy for anyone who has come to know and possess all the blessings that are in Christ Jesus at any point in life to turn their back on those blessings. This morning, I want to encourage each one of us to resolve this morning that we are going to finish the course. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, he says, "For I am already being offered up, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul had appealed to Caesar. Caesar was Nero at this period of time. Nero put many, many Christians to death. And so as Paul sat in prison at Rome, Paul realized who it was that he would be facing. The Emperor Nero, who was putting Christians to death. And so Paul said, "The time of my departure is at hand." We don't know exactly what Paul meant. Perhaps he was ill. More likely, he knew the circumstances that awaited him. But what history, secular history, tells us about Paul, that he was indeed put to death. And so Paul is in prison contemplating what he believes is about to be the end of his life. He says that, "I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith, and I've finished the course. There's no estimating how much comfort and solace that gave to Paul as he was awaiting his death. He has said early in a letter to the Philippians that my preference is to die and to be with the Lord. And so here Paul is about to take that journey from this life to paradise. And there's comfort in that in Paul's words. He says, you know, I fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. There's no hesitation in what Paul says. I don't believe there was any hesitation in Paul's mind. Because Paul had not only began the race. When Ananias said to him, why, Saul, arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. He not only began the race that day, but some 30 years later, he says, I have finished the course. Paul stands as an encouragement to each one of us that we must finish the course. We must finish the course. Well, that course is not always easy. Look at 2 Corinthians 11. Here is the Apostle Paul himself. Here's what he says about himself as we break into this reading. You come down to verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as one beside himself. I more in labors more abundantly, in prisons more abundantly, in stripes often, above measure and deaths off of the Jews 5 times, received I 40 stripes, save one. 3 times was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of rivers, robbers, my own countrymen, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in labor, travail, watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Wow, Paul says, I've finished the course. When you read that one passage, you have to admire Paul. Paul knew the course had not been easy for him. Jesus told him through Ananias that the course wouldn't be easy. In Acts 9, Ananias says to Saul of Tarsus, he said, the Lord is going to show you how many things you must suffer for my name's sake. And certainly that was the course that Paul followed. And so with Paul and with us, there will come times in our life when that course is not easy. But as Paul gives us this example, no matter what comes, we must have that resolve that I'm going to finish the course. I'm going to finish the race. We studied on Sunday evenings in the study of Revelation, our brother Antipas, who was put to death. God testified in his behalf. Here is my faithful witness, Antipas, who was put to death in your midst. Antipas finished the course. It cost him his life. But Antipas finished that course. He talks about his brethren. John does in Revelation chapter 6, 9 through 11. When John looked under that altar, and there were the souls who had been put to death because they held the testimony of the word. They were put to death because they finished the course. They were encouraged in Revelation 2, verse 10, to be thou faithful unto death. That is, even if it requires death, if finishing the course means that you give your life for the cause of Christ, you be willing to make that sacrifice and you finish the course. It's so important. There's nothing more important to us who are Christians than finishing the course that we're on. Starting simply is not enough. We need to make sure we finish that course, and it takes resolve to do that. Certainly Jesus understood that. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, his course was not easy. He had already suffered. He had suffered rejection from his own brethren in the beginning. His own physical family rejected him in the beginning. The Jewish race had rejected him. So throughout his lifetime, his ministry, he had known rejection. Then he began his trials, and he was mocked. He was slapped. He was spat upon. Finally crucified. As we talked a few weeks ago, what made it more difficult is Jesus knew what was coming. Before time on earth began, Jesus knew that the day would come when he would finally give his life. And so in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays 3 times, "Father, if it be thy will, let the cup of death pass from me." But as Mike noted a moment ago, not thy will, but thy will be done. In Luke's account, he sweat drops as though it were great drops of blood. Jesus knew agony. And so the course he came to earth to follow was not an easy course. And so God would not tell us this morning that, folks, it's going to be easy. You become a Christian, and then your life is just, it's downhill after that. It's an easy course to follow. It's not an easy course. And these understood that it's not always an easy course. Finishing a race is not always an easy thing to do. But finish it we must. Well, sadly, some will not finish the course. And I would that each one of us here this morning finish the course. It'd be a sad day on judgment. We don't know all there is to know about judgment. We're given some insight. Would not be a sad sight indeed on judgment day to see anyone here, any one of us, have God say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Wouldn't that be heartbreaking? Because we love one another. And yet, there will be those on judgment that will not finish the course. On judgment day, I want each one of us here to finish the course. That God may say to each one of us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou in the joys of the Lord." What a great day that will be. But some are not going to finish the course. The Scriptures tell us that. Paul said the Spirit, the Holy Spirit says that there are going to be those in latter times that are going to fall away from the faith. Not all who began the course are going to finish the course. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Here's encouragement. "Therefore, let us give the more earnest heed." Let's be diligent. Let's pay attention. Lest haply we drift away from them. And normally that's what happens. Bill Hall, I've mentioned this before. He probably preached a sermon here. You've heard it. One step at a time. What a great lesson. And in that lesson, Bill says that when people leave the truth, it's not overnight normally. He says they just take a step. One step away from God. And then they take a second step. And a third step. And finally, they've abandoned God altogether. Generally, that's what I've observed in life. When people quit the course of being a Christian, it's a drifting away. And so we need to pay attention. If we see ourselves beginning to drift away, we need to do something. We need to do something. It's a warning sign to us when we see ourselves drift away. And I think we know. It's not difficult to know. It's not complicated. We don't open our Bible as much. Days go by, we We don't pray like we used to. We're not at services like we used to be. See, it's not hard. It's not difficult to know when I begin drifting away. When we drift away, we need to do something about that. I used to fish years ago with Billy Cagle. Did a lot of fishing down the Elk River. And he had set the back of the boat with a paddle. No trolling motor. That was his arm with a trolling motor. And the wind would be blowing, he'd hold that boat. I don't know how he did it. He'd fish one hand and catch twice as many as I did with one hand. But if he was drifting away from that treetop where those crappie were, he'd get back there pretty quickly. He knew. What did he see? Well, we started to drift away. Paul says, take heed. Give the more earnest heed, lest haply you drift away. We need to pay attention to ourselves. Pay attention to our children. Pay attention to our grandchildren. And we see them start to drift away. As James said, we may need to snatch them out of the fire. Because we must finish the course. May God help each one of us finish the course. Here's what Jesus said in Luke 9. Or Paul said in Galatians 5, he said, you were running well. What happened? You know, there's sadness in that. To these Christians of Galatians, Paul said, you were running well. He said, who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? What happened? Paul said, what happened? You were doing well. You were faithful as a Christian. Said, just what happened? Why did you fall away? And so some will start the course and not finish the course. Well, we ask why. A lot of ways to answer this, but in Luke 8, we have the parable of the sower. And we notice this briefly in Luke 8 as one way to answer the question. Jesus talks about four kinds of soil. The first kind of soil he talks about is the seed is sown in the wayside soil. That is the hard, hard ground. Well, the seed is sown, but Jesus says, they come with the devil. They hear the word, but then comes the devil. He takes the word out of the heart that they might believe. There's a lot of sadness in that. You know, if you or I found out today that we had a fatal cancer, and yet we go to a doctor, unlike they say most of the time, look, I got the cure. Here it is right here. And he tells us exactly what we need to do to be cured. We said, well, no, thank you. I don't think so. We leave the doctor off and go home. We said, well, sure, that's absurd. Nobody would do that. Nobody in their right mind would walk away from the cure. And yet men do it day in and day out. Here's a word. Here's a means of man's salvation. That's why this is sad. Somebody hears the word. They've heard the word. So to them, it's not a knowing problem. It's a doing problem. They know what to do. They simply will not do it. And facing God on judgment will be such a sad thing because they had the answer all along. You didn't respond to it. Well, that's some. That's why some will not finish a course. Others, Jesus says, the seed falls on the rocky soil. And it takes root for a while. And you see this. On the side of a hillside, just stone, a tree, always amazing, growing out the side of a rock. Well, Jesus says it may grow for a while, but then when temptation comes, one falls away. That means the faith has just not gone deep enough. We're not strong enough to finish the course. And so when temptation comes, we give in and we just quit. Some will not finish the course. He said in verse 13, sometimes the seed falls among the thorns. And here the ground is good enough. The seed takes root, it flourishes, begins to grow. But then the thorns and thistles just come up and, and choke the fruit out. The cares of this world, concerns of life, become more important than serving God. Some will not finish the course. And we each this morning resolve, I'm going to finish the course. I'm going to do whatever it takes to finish this course. Temptations will come. I'm going to be strong. I've got to overcome temptations. Finish the course. Turn with 2 Corinthians 4. Be our text for our Bible study in the adult class next Sunday morning, Lord willing. I think here's something that Paul certainly knew. He penned this through the Holy Spirit. It's something that Antipas knew as he gave his life. In fact, as long as man has been on earth, I think the faithful through the ages have understood this. I think my friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego understood this. When they told Nebuchadnezzar, said, you know, you can take our life, but our God, He's able to deliver us, and even if He doesn't, I'm not going to bow down and worship that image. They understood what Paul says in this passage. Read with me. Wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul said in our text, I fought the fight, I've kept the faith, and I finished the course. Henceforth there laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Well, Paul, that's what you're talking about here, isn't it? We look at things that are not seen. That's what faith is all about. Faith is the substance, the evidence of things not seen. It's the assurance of things that are not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And so faith gives us the assurance that, yes, heaven is real. And I need to finish the course. So that one day God will say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord and be with God forever. Why, there's what Paul was longing for. That's why I longed to depart and be with the Lord. And he had the solace. Say, I finished the course. They understood that what this passage teaches us. And no matter what happens in this life, it's only for a short period of time. No matter what comes our way, it's only for a short period of time as life itself is. What's the admonition? Stay the course. Stay the course. Don't look back. Jesus said, I remember Lot's wife. You remember that story? God said, now when you leave Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot, don't look back. Well, we know what happened. His wife looked back and turned a pillar of salt. Jesus said, using that as an example, don't look back. When you become a Christian, you keep your eyes forward. You press on toward the mark of the prize, the high calling in Christ Jesus, and you never look back. Going back simply is not an option. I'm going to stay the course. Don't look back. Paul said, Demas has forsaken me and forsaken God because he loved this present world. What is there in this world that's worth giving up heaven for? That's right. There's absolutely nothing. You can't think of a thing that's worth giving up heaven for. And so it's worth everything to gain heaven. Don't look back. Jesus said this in Luke 9. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. When I was a young man, really a boy, I was up West Tennessee, and my uncle farmed, and we went out and chopped beans one day. And he sharpened a hoe. And he said, "Son, I'll take this row, and you take that row." So we started chopping those old burrs about 5 feet high. I could barely get the hole to cut one. You know what I found myself doing? How far have I turned around and looked? How far have I gone? How far to the end of this row? I kept looking back. Jesus said, "No man putting his hand to the plow looking back is fit for the kingdom." He says, "You stay the course, don't look back. You resolve that I'm going to finish a course no matter what comes my way." And the lesson is, what's happened in the past is not as important as what happens in the future. You know, I can have sin in my life. All of us have sinned. I have. But what's happened in the past is there. I repent of it. I correct what I've done wrong. But more importantly, what am I going to do with the future? As a Christian, we make mistakes. But God is love. So here's what you do, Jerry. When you commit sin, you say, "Father, forgive me." And God will. What's important is, what do I do with my life from this moment forward? If I do look back, and if I stumble, God, it is good to say, "Jerry, I'll pick you up, and I'll set you on the course again, and you just start again." What a gracious God we serve. Fight the good fight. Paul says, "I fought the good fight." He tells Timothy, as a good soldier, he said, "You be a good soldier." We're in a warfare with Satan. So Paul says, "I was a faithful soldier. I have fought the fight." Look with me in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. We're talking about finishing course. Here Paul makes allusion to running a race. "Know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? Even so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth in the games exerciseth self-control in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run as not uncertainly, so fight I, not beating the air, but I buffet my body, bringing unto objection, lest by any means, after that I might have preached to others, I myself should be rejected." Let us resolve to run the race that we may attain the prize. It's not up to run. We've got to finish the course. May each of us have that resolve this morning, that we're going to finish the course. So that one day, as we're about to close our eyes this life, even as Paul was, that we can look about if our loved ones are nearby, our son, our daughter, our grandchildren, if they are gathered about us during that last minute, we give them one of the great gifts of life. And we say, "I'm good. I fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. And I've finished the course. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness." And Paul goes on to say, "Not only me only, but unto all them also who have loved his appearing." May we help each other in this race we're on. May we strengthen, encourage, exhort, correct one another, and do all we can that one day we're all together in eternity. Finish the course. This morning, if you haven't started the course, this morning I encourage you to do that. We've studied the past several weeks. You've been here, you know what to do. We'd be glad to help you this morning. And if you stumbled along the way, accept the invitation of Christ to come back and say, "I've fallen, but I want to do it again. I'm going to get back on the course." We encourage you to do it this morning as we stand and sing.